Jesus is the light to the nations. If you've been around Fairmount any length of time, you know that we are a mission-focused church, reaching out really to the entire world, the world that's right here in our own community, right here around Mechanicsville, but also the world that's on the other side of the globe. This is the kind of church that we are. We are with our light to the nations theme this year. Each week we hope to bring you one, maybe two if we get enough, but at least one video from one of our impact partners in another part of the world showing all of us how they celebrate Christmas. I thought this was a wonderful one, to start with. They have such a beautiful way they celebrate there in Mexico City and there in Niños. I knew that we would all enjoy that a lot. Fairmount supports at least one vibrant ministry on every inhabited continent of the world. And so that's why we want to show you how Christmas is celebrated around the world during this theme. We have been supporting Niños de Mexico for decades, long before I was born, raised here at Fairmount. Long before I was born, they were supporting Niños. In fact, I think we may have been one of the original partners that helped start Niños decades ago. We have helped thousands of orphans or displaced children who are in desperate need in those places. We've sent money for years. We've been praying for them for years. And, of course, we send volunteers. We had a little break during the pandemic, but we're back to sending teams again this upcoming spring break. Our high schoolers are going to be going on a spring break mission trip to Niños, and I'm really excited about that, that they get to experience what many of us have experienced when we've been there. I was there 10 years ago, 2014. Our daughter Erin and I went with a team from Fairmount, and we had an incredibly memorable time working with them. At night, you play with the children, you eat dinner with the children. You tell stories, you read, do Bible teachings with the children, you eat a lot of candy. Yeah, that's a good thing. And then during the day, we're painting, we're helping put together equipment, you know, playground equipment and sports equipment. And, of course, we're helping each other with our language skills. Other nations are way better than Americans at teaching language skills. So every child, even the little teeny ones, are wanting to practice their English with you. And even to this day, Erin and I will still greet each other with what one of the little boys every day would say, "How are you? How are you?" You know, I don't know who Hugh was, but that's how he was learning how to speak English. And every day we'll say, "How are you?" You know, but we loved it and had a great time and still laugh about our wonderful experience there, because it's a reminder that the church is bigger than just here at Fairmount. The church is around the world, and we love supporting our friends there in Mexico City. Jesus is the light to the nations, and Fairmount plays an important role in spreading that light to every continent. You know, light plays such a huge part of the Christmas season. From the simplicity of candles and windows, you know, you drive by a house, it's got the pretty, you know, candles in the windows. We always told our children that was Jesus' birthday candles. To the huge displays of tacky lights that our community loves. And our family, you know, since our kids were very small, we go on our own tacky light tours around Richmond and RICO and Hanover. Betsy and I still go every year to Busch Gardens and just to see all the beautiful lights. Get up in the sky ride and see all the beautiful lights down there in Williamsburg. I love this. I love this time of year just for the lights alone. I looked up. I was wondering. I was like, what house has the most lights? And there is an answer to that question. Guinness World Book of Records says that the house with the most lights on it, the house, not a company, not a business, not Busch Gardens, but a house with the most lights is in Unionvale, New York. Unionvale, there's one house in Unionvale, New York that has 750,000 lights on it. How would you like to live next door to those people? You know, while they're paying the electric bills for the whole county for the year, you don't even have to turn your lights on the whole month. I mean, wouldn't that be wonderful? But there, Unionvale is a town of about 45,000 people outside of Poughkeepsie. And yet this house alone will bring in over 100,000 tourists during the Christmas season just to see that house alone. They've used this, as you'll see on some of the tacky light tours we do around here, they've used it as a fundraiser to raise money for local, you know, local charities. And they've raised over $700,000 for local charities over the years. One of the locals said that their house is a literal and metaphorical bright light. And I think that what a beautiful, I'd love to see that. You know, there's probably nobody in this room that remembers, but back in olden times, they used to literally tie candles to Christmas trees. You'll sing or hear some Christmas carols that have that in, and you go, what? Yeah, they used to tie candles to Christmas trees. Thankfully, that's been replaced with strings of lights, pre-lit trees that will, you know, that change colors, that play tunes. I even saw at Lowe's, you can buy one that'll wrap your gifts for you. I mean, wouldn't that be wonderful? No, I'm just kidding about that one. Anyway, all of this light that we celebrate, that illuminates the entire Christmas season starting in Halloween, all of this begins in the Bible. No surprise, right? In looking forward to the birth of the Messiah, Isaiah writes, the people walking in darkness have seen a great, what? Who remembers? Great light. Everybody say light. Light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. At Christmas, we think about that light hung in the sky, leading the Magi to Bethlehem. We remember the glorious display of angels announcing the birth of Jesus to the shepherds. We think, of course, of Jesus, who is the light of the world. You know, the Gospels are all very different, but Matthew and Luke are the only two that have any of the birth narrative of Jesus. So every time you see or hear or read the Christmas story, you're reading it from Matthew and Luke. Mark, his gospel starts with John the Baptist preaching and Jesus getting baptized. He just dives right on in. But John is the most unique of all of them. His is a philosophical, theological, it's much more brainy. It's much more think oriented. And he begins his gospel with this theological prelude on who Jesus is. Listen to what he says. He says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. In Him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. That's Advent. That's Christmas. It's this light that we want to talk about this Christmas season at Fairmount. Our world needs light desperately. And Christmas is a time of joy and happiness. And it's not my nature to want to be negative and dark and all those kinds of things. But we are talking about light. And what is the opposite of light but darkness? And this world is a very dark world. We would be hiding our head in the sand to not see that. War and terrorism and violence are all too common in our world today. Human trafficking, slavery are just as real today, if not more real today than they've ever been. Division, partisanship, anti-Semitism, all are on the rise globally. Our world, our nation is marred by greed, by selfishness and bitterness. I don't need to pull out a statistic that I found on the internet. I don't need to go to the internet and find a story to prove my point. We all know it. We all know it by just being exposed to life each and every day. Yet as long as there is Jesus, there's hope. Jesus brings hope. Jesus brings light into darkness. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Now, let me ask you, a lot of you grew up at Fairmount, but a lot of you did not. Let me ask you, anybody ever been in a Christmas pageant before? When you were a little dinky dude, were you ever in a Christmas pageant? Will, were you ever in a Christmas pageant? I don't remember. If you were or not, you probably were. Yeah, whatever. So what part did you play in the Christmas pageant? Were you, a wise man with a crown on your head? Were you an angel? Well, none of you were angels, probably. Were you, Mary or Joseph? Some of you in this room were probably babies. You know, we borrow someone's baby in the Christmas pageants here. We always borrow a real baby. And I know they were looking for a baby for this year's Christmas program for our children. But anyway, you might have been one of those parts. Today, I want everybody to put on a bathrobe. When you put on a bathrobe, I want you to wrap a towel, tie a towel around your head. I want you to go out in the woods and find a sturdy stick, because we're all shepherds today. Are you ready? We're all shepherds today. We're shepherds out in the fields between Jerusalem and Bethlehem, keeping watch over our flocks at night. You got your costume on? Let's hear that message that came to the shepherds that night. The message that the angel shares with the shepherds beautifully describes the light of Jesus. Listen to that message. There were shepherds living out in the fields nearby. That's us, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." And in the words of Linus Van Pelt, that's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. It's a simple message. But if we were to write of the ramifications of that message, there aren't enough books, there aren't enough pages, there's not enough ink in the world to write of the impact of that one single message on the history of the universe. It's a simple message of light and courage and joy and peace and salvation. It's a remarkable announcement because it's a remarkable birth. So as we build up to Christmas this year, let's explore the nature of this incredible light. Our world needs it. Our nation needs it. Our community needs it. We need it. I think sometimes we forget about how much a light is valuable to us until it goes out or it doesn't come on. I've had several instances in my life where that's been real. This past July, Betsy and I drove down to Fort Gregg Adams to watch the 4th of July fireworks. And so we went down there and drove down and enjoyed that. And, you know, and we're leaving. And we went on 295 and got on Route 360, 460, I don't know, whatever you people down there ever know. We drove over to the fort, and so we wanted to turn right and come out and get on 295, but it wouldn't let us, and they made us go left. And so we drive through Petersburg or Colonial Heights or whatever it was to get to 95. We drive through all that. The fort is lit up bright as a Christmas tree. The downtown, Colonial Heights, Petersburg, they're all lit up, all that stuff. We get on 95 now, just headed north, and Betsy leans over and she goes, "Are our lights on?" And I went, "Nope, they are not." And sure enough, I didn't turn the lights on to the car. So, you know, darkness can be dangerous, can't it? Many years ago, I went on one of my first mission trips to Kenya, and the men that I was traveling with and the men of this little village out in the bush spent the night in a mud hut, just what you would think of when you think of that part of the world, a mud hut where it was a bunch of us Americans, a bunch of our Kenyan friends, and all of their goats were all in the mud hut together. And when they finally blew the fire out and said, "It's time to go to bed," the darkness in that hut, you could hear the animals scurrying over the roof of the hut. I could hear the goats eating my shoes. You know, it was one of those things. Darkness can be unsettling. I bet everybody in this room, if you grew up in Virginia, you went to Luray Caverns at some point. You get down in the bottom of Luray Caverns. You take any tour of Luray Caverns, they do the same thing with every tour. When you get to the bottom, what do? They turn out the lights. It's so dark, you can feel it. Darkness can be oppressive. We need light. We need the light of Jesus. As the angel of the Lord appears to the shepherds, the angel begins the message with the words of great encouragement. Do not be afraid. That's where we begin today. The light of Jesus says, do not be afraid. Some say this is the most common command in all of Scripture. Dozens of times, God or one of His prophets, Jesus or one of His followers, reminds us of that simple command. Do not be afraid. Fear not. Now, we all know that's easier said than done, but the Bible says it. We believe it. We embrace that command. They are the very words that usher in the announcement of Jesus' birth. So from the very beginning of the Jesus narrative, we are reminded that the light of Jesus eradicates fear. Light does that. Where there was the unknown, light makes things known. Where there was confusion, light brings clarity. Where there's no direction, light illuminates the path. Where there was fear, light brings courage. Now, I'm guessing everybody in this room has seen a creepy movie at some point. You know, it may not be your thing, but we've all watched, you know, a thriller, a mystery or something like that. And, you know, you might not like those, but, you know, you probably have people around you to do, so you watch them, you know. And they always seem, you know, they come on this creepy house in the middle of a creepy woods somewhere, and they go into the creepy house, and they're wandering around looking for something or trying to get away or whatever they're doing. And they always seem to be a creepy cellar, right? And so, don't go in the cellar, you know, you don't want, you know, something's going to happen bad in there. And so every time they open the door to the cellar and then light from, you know, from the room above pours into the cellar down there. And what happens? All the mice, what? They scatter, don't they? The mice scatter. Embracing the light of Jesus, fear scatters. What fears does the world harbor? Or better yet, what fears do we harbor? What fears do you harbor? If Jesus is the light to the nations, do the nations have fear? Of course they do. The nations of the world harbor the same fears that we do. People all around us, people right here in our community, right where you work, right where you go to school, have the same fears that you do. People in Mexico, Haiti, Poland, New Zealand, wherever, they all share similar fears. Fears of dying, fears of the unknown, fears of illness, fears of loss. Where one community fears war, another community fears tyranny. Where one community fears poverty, another community fears the impact of greed. Fears of aloneness. Fears of irrelevance, fears of the future, fears for our children. Someone in this room right now is fearful of their next doctor's appointment. Fearful that a strained relationship will finally sever. Fearful that their paycheck won't get them through the month. Fears are as wide and diverse as the people in this room. Fears are real as the people in this room. The angel in the sky looks on the fearful shepherds. They're fearful, of course, because an angel has popped up over where they are. If an angel popped up over your house and started talking, you'd probably be fearful too. But that's not all that they were fearful of. They were fearful of Roman oppression. They were fearful of the religious oppression of the day. They were fearful of the constant loss of their flock. That's why they're watching them at night. They were fearful of the loss of their job, the loss of their income. And the angel in the sky looks on them, those fearful shepherds, and he says, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news." Jesus is that good news. And Jesus gives the answer to our fears. Jesus is the answer to our fears. Take off your bathrobe, skip ahead 30 years. I can't imagine the fears that Jesus's disciples must have been feeling the night that they were gathered into what we now call the Last Supper, gathered in the upper room for the Last Supper. Again, every time Passover came around, there was great fear in Jerusalem because of the great tension that would be there. There was the tension of a potential uprising of the Jews, therefore the tension of the Romans who might retaliate against the Jews, so there was always that fear of happening. Now you had on top of it, this man is in town where half the city wants to coronate him king and the other half wants to crucify him. So there's more fear in that upper room. There's Jesus talking about dying. There's that fear. There's the fear of, well, if they do something to him, what are they going to do to us? Oh, no, there's that fear. And then there's just that fear that comes for their slight understanding that Jesus says that he's going to leave them. And yet Jesus says to them, and he says to us powerful words of encouragement. Where John is pretty light on the birth stuff, he's incredibly heavy on the upper room stuff. He has more teaching from Jesus during the upper room than all of the other gospels combined. John 14, Jesus says, don't let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And then he tells them about heaven and eternity and the house that he's building for them and that he'll take us to one day. In John 16, Jesus continues his upper room encouragement. He says to his friends, he says to you, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. In just a few small words here, just a handful of words, Jesus puts all of our fears into the proper perspective. He says, troubles are to be expected. He doesn't say in this world you may have trouble. He says in this world you will have trouble. Jesus is right. You can call them troubles, you can call them worries, anxieties, problems, frustrations. I don't know where you are on that today, but trouble seems to have no problem finding us in the world today. Self-inflicted troubles, job-inflicted troubles, family-inflicted trouble, school-inflicted trouble, health-inflicted trouble, car-inflicted trouble, 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 trouble. Trouble is to be expected. But as we know, there's good news. Jesus has conquered them all. In this world, you will have trouble. I have overcome the world. That's a truth we need to hear. Jesus is clear to say that we're going to have troubles. He doesn't say that he's going to magically wipe them all away and they're just going to disappear and you'll never have those troubles ever again. That's not what he says. But of all those things that produce troubles, he says, I have conquered all those things. They can take your life, but they can't take your soul. They can rob you of everything dear to you, but they can't rob you of eternity. You can lose everything that you hold dear here on this earth, but you can't lose Jesus. Jesus has conquered it all. So, take heart. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart. I've overcome this world. Be encouraged. Be hopeful. Be strong. Be brave. Be confident. Don't let the things of this world rob you of the things that Jesus has given you. Joy, peace, hope, courage. The Christmas list that he has given you is long. Paul writes a wonderful reminder to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. These are familiar words. They're not only on the screen, so listen. He says, familiar words, he says, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful. He'll not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he'll also provide a way out so that you can endure it. Great. I need that. What does that have to do with what we're talking about today? Here. Greek scholars tell us that the context of this passage suggests that Paul intended the Greek word parasmos to be translated temptation. No temptation has overtaken you. But there is another translation of that word that Paul may have also had in mind. You know, words have multiple meanings. And that translation is the word trial. Listen to that passage with that word. No trial has overtaken you except what's common to mankind. And God is faithful. He will not let you face trials beyond what you can bear. But when you do face trials, he'll also provide a way out, so that you can endure it. From the words of Jesus to the words of Paul, Both translations are right. There is no temptation you face. There is no trial you endure that God will not help you through, period. It is the powerful truth of Scripture. Jesus is the light to the nations. What does that mean for you this year? What does that mean for you right now? Of all the things that it can mean, and we're going to talk about those things over the course of December, of all the things that it can mean, perhaps today you simply need to hear those four words. Do not be afraid. Take heart. Jesus has overcome the world. Do not be afraid. There is not a message that I sit down to work on for you, my friends, that does not bring to mind some song or two songs or 50 songs. I love singing. I love music. I love all the music that we have here at Fairmount. Just, I love it. It's one of my favorite things about our church is our love for music and praise and worship and all. My first solo as a child was Silent Night during the Christmas season and all that stuff. But I kept hearing a couple songs go through my mind as I was working on today's message. I want to read for you the words. This song that came, the first came to my mind was a song that was written back in the early 1990s. So back, Christian contemporary music, that's pretty much all Betsy and I were listening to back in those days. And artist that I don't even know if he's even still alive today, the artist by the name of Scott Kerpane wrote he didn't write it, he sang a song that was written by Kevin Stokes and Tony Wood that still resonates with me, 30 some years later. These words still resonate with me today. That's why they came to mind. I still remember these words, so I printed them out. And it's referencing Jesus. The song is called Sometimes He Calms the Storm. It's referencing when Jesus is on the boat sleeping, and the disciples are like, there's a storm going on. Why is Jesus sleeping? They go wake him up. Don't you know there's a storm going on? And Jesus stands up and says, peace be still. And the waters get all calm, So it's referencing that story there. And the writers say this beautiful thing in this verse. They say, all who sail the sea of faith find out before too long how quickly blue skies can grow dark and gentle winds grow strong. Suddenly fear is like white water pounding on the soul. Still we sail on knowing that our Lord is in control. Sometimes he calms the storm with a whispered peace be still. He can settle any sea, but it doesn't mean he will. Sometimes he holds us close and lets the wind and waves go wild. Sometimes he calms the storm, and other times he calms his child. He has a reason for each trial that we pass through in life. And though we're shaken, we cannot be pulled apart from Christ. No matter how the driving rain beats down on those who hold the faith, a heart of trust will always be a quiet, peaceful place. Sometimes he calms the storm with a whispered peace be still. He can settle any sea, but it doesn't mean he will. Sometimes he holds us close and lets the wind and waves go wild. Sometimes he calms the storm, and other times he calms his child. I need that message. Maybe you need that message. Sometimes we just say, Lord, just get rid of the storm. And sometimes he does. Sometimes he says, no, I'm going to hold you tight. I'm taking care of you today. It's one of the beautiful themes of one of the songs we sing at Christmas time. It's a beautiful Christmas carol. It's kind of a haunting one. It's actually one of my favorite ones. It's not one that you go up to a door, ring the doorbell, and sing on somebody's porch, because it's kind of dark, purposely. And that's the old Christmas carol, O Come, Emmanuel. You know that song? And it starts off pretty heavy. O Come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. We're captured. We're prisoners in this world that we live in by sin and all the junk and all the darkness. Come and ransom us. That's kind of a dark song, isn't it? But then the third verse comes, and I want to read that for you. Then I'll be done. The carol goes, O come thou day spring. You know what day spring is? I had to look that up. Day spring is a poetic term for sunrise. The spring of the day. Woo, the day's up. Sun's up. Sunrise. O come thou day spring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice. Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Jesus is the light to the nations. Do not be afraid. What fears are you harboring today? You don't have to admit them out loud. But I always like this time in our service where we sing a song of worship, and it reminds me to just say to the Lord, whatever the Lord's been saying to me today, Lord, I want to embrace that today. And I want to encourage you to embrace the fact that you do not have to fear when you have Jesus. You do not have to fear when you have Jesus. Turn that fear over to him today. Let's worship together.